It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is October 11th, 2021. So it's 10-11-21. 101121. I like that repetition. Always super fun. Welcome to everyone in comm. If you're not in comm, get there. It's pretty easy. All you gotta do is SSH over to sdf.org. So you can SSH username at sdf.org. If you don't have a username, go ahead and throw out new, that's N-E-W, at sdf.org, and you'll be able to connect and sign up for a new account. Easy peasy. Super breezy. So check that out. Of course, you know.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
But that's not going to stop us. Hello to Calm. Those that are hanging out in Calm get to follow along. We have fun. So we got Tobe repeating until he shows up. I guess that's whenever I wasn't here yet. Ratsu and F Fog and his acro. Hisacro. Sorry. I haven't said it out loud, I don't think, in a while. Anyway, welcome, welcome, one and all. Let's go ahead and get started. There's a whole bunch of news, so let's get started. Hisacro. There we go. That makes sense. All right, so let's go ahead and get started the way we always start. Well, almost always. And that's with
world news.
That's right, the world news. So, not a lot of sadness today. At least I hope not. You tell me. First up, China floods. Nearly 2 million people displaced in Shaanxi province. More than 1.76 million people have been affected by severe flooding in China's northern Shaanxi province, according to local media. Torrential rain last week led to houses collapsing and triggered landslides across more than 70 districts and cities in the province. Heavy rainfall is hampering rescue efforts, officials said. The flooding comes less than 3 months after extreme rains in Hunan province left more than 300 dead. Chop? Am I talking too loud? I might be hitting the levels. No, I'm not hitting the level. Sorry, I don't know. Okay, sweet. Less than 3 months. In neighboring Hebei province, a bus fell into a flooded river. State media said 3 people died and 11 of the 51 on board were missing. In Shaanxi, China's Meteorological Administration also told local media that heavy and prolonged rainfall and storms had hampered rescue efforts. Shaanxi is home to a number of ancient monuments which are at major risk from severe rainfall. More than 120,000 people have been urgently transferred and resettled, and 17,000 homes have collapsed across the province, authorities told Xinhua News Agency. 4 police officers died as a result of a landslide, according to state-run Global Times, although information about other casualties has not been released. So, we'll be sure and provide follow-ups as things go along. We'll just see what happens. Always worry about people when natural disasters like this happen. Welcome, welcome, Knock. Thanks for tuning in. All right, so let's keep moving. This is pretty sad, I guess. Unprecedented hunger in Lebanon as fuel crisis hikes food costs. You guys may remember we talked about this. So this is kind of a follow-up, but just kind of a sad result. Mohammed sat in the smaller grocery store where he worked and flipped through pages of a notebook filled with a long list of customers indebted to the shop. More and more people are struggling with money and asking us to let them pay later, the 30-year-old Syrian refugee from Deraa told Al Jazeera, as growing fuel crunch has led food prices to skyrocket. We have to try to be patient with them. Things have become much worse with the fuel crisis over the summer. The small shops located in the heart of Beirut's semi-industrial Carantina neighborhood, a stone's throw away from the destroyed port. Many of the shelves at the shop were packed. That is because people are simply focusing on household necessities. So nobody is buying coffee, as you see, he said, pointing to dozens of jars on the shelves. Most people go for bread, vegetables, and those dairy products in the fridge over there. But even many staple items are no longer affordable. He has struggled to sell olive oil as it has soared in price. Lebanon's food crisis is not a recent development. The World Food Program estimated that food prices have gone up 628% in just 2 years, compounding Lebanon's economic meltdown. Wow. I'm just trying to picture that. So right now, if I buy a gallon of milk, it's like $3.58. And let's see. So if it was up 628%, it's by 6.28. Wow. Could you imagine a gallon of milk costing like $24? I would probably cease drinking milk. However, the food crisis has significantly worsened in recent months amid fuel shortages and prices. The Lebanese government has gradually been lifting fuel subsidies since June and has increased petrol prices 4 times in under a month in a bid to deal with crippling shortages. At the same time, it struggled to unroll a cash card program to replace the subsidies. Meanwhile, Lebanon has been increasingly hit by extended blackouts as state-provided electricity has dwindled to almost nothing, while diesel fuel prices for private generators has skyrocketed too, if fuel can even be found in the first place. So, it's looking really bad there for Lebanon. Not a lot of hope out there. 90% of Syrian refugees in Lebanon now live in poverty, and a wider figure of 36% across the whole country. So it's looking bad. The hunger crisis is unprecedented and has affected hundreds of thousands of Lebanese families that never used to worry about putting food on the table. We've tripled our assistance, but the scale-up is gradual. People who once never had issues with putting food on the table have suddenly plunged into poverty. So yeah, it's looking bad, at least for now there. So fingers crossed they get that stuff sorted there. It's a fallout of that government not forming. They had a year to get everything together, and they just couldn't get it pulled together, and now it's really falling apart. All right, well, don't worry, because you don't really have to worry about an oil tanker blowing up or a fertilizer plant, tanker blowing up in your port if it's just rotting out in this Red Sea. A rotting Red Sea oil tanker could leave 8 million people without water. The impact of an oil spill in the Red Sea from a tanker that is rotting in the water could be far wider than anticipated, with 8 million people losing access to running water and Yemen's Red Sea fishing stock destroyed within 3 weeks. Negotiations are underway to offload the estimated 1.1 million barrels of crude oil that remains on board the FSO Safer. That's Foxtrot Sierra Oscar Safer, which has been deteriorating by the month since it was abandoned in 2017. The vessel contains 4 times the amount of oil released by the Exxon Valdez in the Gulf of Alaska in 1989, and a spill is considered increasingly probable. The oil will spread well beyond Yemen and cause environmental havoc affecting Saudi Arabia, Eritrea, and Djibouti, according to the latest modeling, which is unlike previous studies because it examines the impact more than a week after the spill. 3-way talks between Houthi rebels, the UN-recognized government of Yemen, and the UN have foundered despite repeated warnings, including at the UN Security Council, of the impact if the tanker explodes, breaks up, or starts sinking. The UN officials have been unable to secure guarantees to maintain the vessel, including its rotting hull. They like to say rotting in this a lot. Rotting hull, which is now overseen by a crew of just 7. The modeling is published in the Journal of Nature Sustainability on Monday and showed the spill was likely to lead to the closure of Red Sea ports of Houthi and Salif within 2 weeks, threatening delivery of 200,000 tons of fuel for Yemen, the equivalent to 38% of the national fuel requirement. Fuel prices are likely to rise by as much as 80%, and the absence of fuel for water pumps will result in 8 million Yemenis being deprived of running water. As many as 2 million will lose access to water if desalination plants in the region become polluted. So, it's going to be a bad time, and it's a testament to how amazing humanity is that we will create a disaster, see it, know that we can prevent it, argue about it, and do nothing, and then just let millions of people die. That's what's kind of great,
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
Yeah, that's what wealthy nations of the world say. But hey, you know what? That's how it goes.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We're going to get there, buddy. Just hold on. We got a few little stories out of Africa, the African continent to get out, and then we will get our butts onto some music. Tunisia's president names new government by decree. Tunisia's president, Kais Saied, on Monday appointed a new government by decree 11 weeks after he fired the last one. The president of the republic issued a decree naming the head of government and its members, the presidency said in a statement, shortly before state television broadcast a swearing-in ceremony. Saied sacked the prime minister, suspended parliament, and granted himself judicial powers in July, in a power grab that opponents have termed a coup. The new government's headed by Najah Boden, the North African country's first ever female prime minister, although Saied has significantly pared back the powers of her office and will technically head the administration himself. We've been kind of worried about Tunisia ever since this happened, because it's kind of, it's looking like they're going back to the old ways. The new government's, the president named Boden, a geologist, on September 29th, more than 2 months after sacking the administration of Hichem Mechichi and removing lawmakers' immunity. Boden, age 63, said in a speech, said in a speech on Monday that the fight against corruption will be the most important aim of a new government, which includes 25 ministers besides herself. So, the new cabinet was announced a day after at least 6,000 people demonstrated in central Tunis against Saied's power grab. So, this is going to be interesting to see what happens, because if the people accept this new government and they just keep on doing their government thing, that's probably as good of a win as we can hope for. Let's go over to the Tigray. This is just terrible times here. Ethiopia's Tigray crisis. Army launches offensive on all fronts. The Ethiopian army has launched coordinated attacks on all fronts against forces from the northern Tigray region. The rebels say the government was using artillery, tanks, jets, and drones in an attempt to reinvade the region. A senior rebel source said Tigray forces were holding their ground. I got a hangnail, sorry. The Ethiopian government has not confirmed any fighting, and a communications blackout makes independent verification impossible. Senior member of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, Getachew Reda, said the government offensive launched last week and was now in full swing. Asked if a ground offensive had been launched, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed's spokesman, Belin Sayoum, said the government had a responsibility to protect its citizens across the country from acts of terrorism, but didn't give any further details. You'll remember, or you may or may not remember, a few months back, whenever they were this kind of stuff first broke out, Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed swore up and down that there weren't even any troops in the Eritrean area of Ethiopia. And then a few months later, 6 weeks or so, 8 weeks later, oh, look at that. He's like, yeah, we're kicking butt and taking names. We've settled things down. And now we're a few months later, and it's like, oh, no, we're not fighting there. Meanwhile, we've had several stories about the famine and struggles that are going on in the region. So all we can do is hope for peace, because Jesus, you know, sorry, I try not to say bring religion into it. But anyway, it's just going to be tough. These guys, everyone that's in that region, is at risk of just starving to death. And let's talk about Sudan real quick. Sudanese Muslims celebrate Mevlut Kandili religious ceremony. I probably said that wrong. Thousands of Sudanese showed up in the capital of Khartoum to celebrate the Mevlut Kandili. Mevlut Kandili simply translates to the time of birth and involves mainly members of the Islamic community. Muslims in Khartoum filled Al Khalifa Square in Umdurman, Khartoum, from the early hours of the morning in a well-set-up space, and later sang and read several poems praising the Prophet Muhammad. The Mevlut Kandili celebrations are done every year and are meant to strengthen the belief of these goers. It also involves the young ones, who are being taught about the importance of this religious event and are also being gifted toys by friends and family members. The attendees also said this celebration is a source of spiritual happiness for them and their religious doctrine. The event helps in renewing Islamic memory and lasts for 12 days. So I thought that was pretty cool. I think any peaceful ceremony, especially when it helps build culture like that, is really cool. Alrighty, well, as the man said,
get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We're going to go ahead and play a song. It is Monday, and so let's listen to Tegan and Sarah sing Monday, Monday, Monday. You're listening to a non-radio.
This week or last week, I Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh yeah, that is 100% correct. You are listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF, Super Dimension Fortress, Team Across. You know the drill. If you love anything to do with the terminal, one and all, everything, check it out. There's a million and one things you can do. You can also, there's just lots of stuff you can do. SDF rules. So definitely check that out. Shout out to Snowdusk, making it into Calm, and Dirty Rig, thank you for joining us. And DJ Lucas, if you're still listening to it on radio, hop on over into the room. You are being paged.
That's correct.
All right. So, that going on, we've got about 9 minutes to go before the before 1930 UTC, which is when the Dubious Goals Committee comes out. So, we definitely want to stick around for that. It is a super fun show, and you get to listen to Tobe and all the adventures that Tobe's going on, which is super fun. And breaking news from COM, SDF can now control the weather. Dubious Goals is now Boobious Goals, and X1's in the comm. So, hello, welcome. Oh, hey, that would be interesting. All right, well, we're focusing. We're going to focus. Why?
Resistance is futile.
All right, there we go. We're focused. Bam, bam, bam. All right, here we go. Germany's largest mosque to broadcast call to prayer on Fridays. Oh, I was going to put all the religious stuff together. Whoops. Anyway, Germany's largest mosque to broadcast call to prayer on Fridays. An agreement between City of Cologne and local Muslim community shows diversity is appreciated, Mayor says. Germany's largest mosque will be permitted to broadcast the call to prayer over loudspeakers on Friday afternoons after an agreement between the City of Cologne and the Muslim community to ease restrictions. All 35 mosques in Cologne will now be permitted to broadcast the call to prayer for up to 5 minutes on Fridays between noon and 3 under a 2-year initiative. That includes the Cologne Central Mosque, which was opened in 2018 after becoming a flashpoint for anti-Muslim sentiment from far-right parties, which grew stronger after an influx of asylum seekers in 2015 to 2016. Permitting the muezzin call for me is a sign of respect, Cologne Mayor Henrietta Recker wrote on Twitter. The call to prayer would join the bells of Cologne's cathedral, Northern Europe's largest Gothic church, as sounds heard by those arriving at the city's main train station. It shows that diversity is appreciated and lived in Cologne. And I think that's really cool. Because, yeah, exactly. If you can have church bells, you should be able to have calls to prayer. They serve pretty much the same purpose. During the controversy surrounding the construction of the large mosque, backers made a point of assuring the public that it would not routinely broadcast the call to prayer, which is heard 5 times a day in Muslim countries. The city said mosques seeking to broadcast the call on Friday afternoons would have to comply with limits on the volume of their speakers and notify neighbors in advance. Some 4.5 million Muslims live in Germany, the largest religious minority group. So, that's very cool. Friday is a special day. I believe. Oh, man. Is Publius around? Because this is important news. I don't have a breaking news. Warning. Geomagnetic storm warning. NOAA forecasters say there is a 35% chance of a geomagnetic storm today on October 11th, 2021, when a halo coronal mass ejection is expected to hit Earth's magnetic field. Storm levels could reach category G2, moderately strong. If such a storm occurs during nighttime hours, auroras could be visible in northern tier U.S. states from New England to Washington. Yesterday, October 10th, an active region of the western edge of the sun exploded, producing a C2 class solar flare. NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory captured a plume of hot plasma flying out of the blast site. The debris will not hit the Earth. Shortly after the blast, SOHO coronagraphs detected a CME emerging from the blast site, but it was narrow and moving outside the Earth's strike zone. And it's important to note that coronal mass ejections are when material is ejected from the sun. And then we've also got solar flares, which are usually just ions being ejected or flung our way. Just as a heads up. So this is very interesting. Watch the sky if you're in the northern parts of the country, of the world, really, at night. So you might see it. All right, what else is going on? Let's talk about some more science. Yeah.
This is time for tech news.
New treatment destroys head and neck cancer tumors in trial. So a new cancer treatment can wipe out tumors in terminally ill head and neck cancer patients. In a landmark trial, a cocktail of immunotherapy medications harnessed patients' immune systems to kill their own cancer cells and prompted a positive trend in survival, according to researchers at the Institute of Cancer Research, London, and the Royal Marsden NHS Foundation Trust. One patient, who was expected to die 4 years ago, told The Guardian of the amazing moment nurses called him weeks after he joined the study to say his tumor had completely disappeared. The 77-year-old grandfather is now cancer-free and spent last week on a cruise with his wife. Which is amazing because, given coronavirus conditions, you really seems wild that anybody would take a cruise. Scientists found the combination of nivolumab and ipilimumab medications, I'll just put that in com because there's no way I'm going to say those properly, led to a reduction in the size of tumors in terminally ill head and neck cancer patients. And some, their cancer vanished altogether, with doctors stunned to find no detectable sign of the disease. So, this is very exciting news, and I hope it's a positive thing for people going on. Ooh, there's a... Snowdesk has lots of personalities on and on radio. Can you figure them all out? This is disturbing and something we need to know. Pentagon official quits, claiming U.S. cybersecurity is kindergarten compared to China. The first appointed head of cybersecurity for the U.S. Air Force has quit and likened the country's preparedness for internet warfare to kindergarten compared to China. Nicholas Chelan, who served as chief software officer for the U.S. government and Air Force, wrote in a LinkedIn post last month that he was stepping down after... this is on Independent, so sorry. They throw all these ads over everything. Last month, after 3 years in the position, he cited detractors within the department for getting in the way of his work, which included the formation of an initiative for private firms to develop secure software. He didn't elaborate further on his departure before admitting in an interview that he was frustrated with America's inability to compete against China. He told the Financial Times at the weekend that fighting China was impossible and that we have no competing fighting chance against China in 15 to 20 years. So he's really just letting it all out, which I think is great. It's bad for national security, but probably good because people seem to think the United States is like this magic creature. And we're about to run out of time, so just last couple of headlines. Stealthing is now illegal in California. That's when you non-consensually remove the condom during intercourse. Ohio police are probed after dragging a paralyzed man out of his car and beating him up. And a U.S. couple's accused of selling nuclear submarine secrets, and sandwiches are involved. So definitely... lots of news stories floating around that are worth your time if you're interested. Also, Superman's son is going to be bisexual, and it'll be out in the next big Superman comic. So Anyway, that's all the time we got today. Please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Toad.
Well, that sound means
and
that our time's coming
sign
to
for
an
the
end.
Rest of the
Thanks
stuff.
For listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Toad at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
It's time for the Dubious Goals Committee. Goals Committee.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Okay, let's count it down.